Hey, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Tim, and I'm glad to have you with us this evening. If you're local, you're probably listening to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're out there in the world someplace else, you're probably with us via the web. But either way, you're welcome this evening. We have local fellowship, follow-up discussions, meeting throughout the multi-county area. If you ever would like to be a part of one after these Wednesday Rewinds, you can call us here at the church and we'll set you up. We're rewinding our Sunday message entitled Vessels of Honor from 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16. And we're going to pray before we get started, and then we'll jump into commentary. We want to hear from Pastor Raymond Woodward from Capital City Church before we get going. But let's just seek the Lord before we even go any further. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather like this. Thank you for the open door to your word, to your spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness, for showing up here each and every time we gather like this. May our hearts be open and receptive. May our lives be out on the table this evening, that in all things, we would actually hear from you and apply them to our lives. You're good, you're gracious, you're faithful, and we love you and we praise your name. Amen.
So many Christians say that they serve a holy God. And they say that their lives are governed by a holy Bible. And they say they want to go to a holy heaven. They even say they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet, it's taboo in most churches today to even bring up the subject of holiness. We live in an era when almost every single denomination and congregation has tried and is trying to accommodate our sin-sick, self-obsessed, addicted, perverted culture. They moved the line here, and the world bumped up against it. And so they said, oh, well, we'll move the line here, and the world bumped up against it. And they always think this foolish notion that if they move the line far enough, finally the world will open their arms and say, oh, we love these Christians, and we love this idea of Christianity. They're fools. Nicholas taught that Christians, since they were sinners saved by grace, they could live like the world on the outside, and they could still.
Paul the Apostle began our text this week, if you recall, with his oft cry to remember, remember. You know, it's a warning I think that we take so lightly, yet in our failure in this, it can have absolutely devastating consequences, and frankly, it often does. You see, when we fail to remember the experiences we've enjoyed, the journeys we have traversed, the value of the relationships that we've been given, we forget usually right up until those things are lost, and then we remember, but all too late. Paul tells Timothy to remind those under his care. Timothy, remind those under your care. Thus, we are given one of the duties of a faithful. Hey, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Tim, and I'm glad to have you with us this evening. If you're local, you're probably listening to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're out there in the world someplace else, you're probably with us via the web. But either way, you're welcome this evening. We have local fellowship, follow-up discussions, meeting throughout the multi-county area. If you ever would like to be a part of one after these Wednesday Rewinds, you can call us here at the church and we'll set you up. We're rewinding our Sunday message entitled Vessels of Honor from 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16. And we're going to pray before we get started, and then we'll jump into commentary. We want to hear from Pastor Raymond Woodward from Capital City Church before we get going. But let's just seek the Lord before we even go any further. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather like this. Thank you for the open door to your word, to your spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness, for showing up here each and every time we gather like this. May our hearts be open and receptive. May our lives be out on the table this evening, that in all things we would actually hear from you and apply them to our lives. You're good, you're gracious, you're faithful, and we love you and we praise your name. Amen.
So many Christians say that they serve a holy God, and they say that their lives are governed by a holy Bible, and they say they want to go to a holy heaven. They even say they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet it's taboo in most churches today to even bring up the subject of holiness. We live in an era when almost every single denomination...
First, the value of the relationships that we've been given. We forget usually right up until those things are lost, and then we remember, but all too late. Paul tells Timothy to remind those under his care. Timothy, remind those under your care. Thus, we are given one of the duties of a faithful pastor, and that is to continuously, faithfully remind the flock of these things. The word, its directives, the importance of unity, brotherhood, and the vertical and the horizontal love manifest of our Christian living, to remain, to endure, to stay focused. Now, sadly, so many of us need to be reminded and need to be reminded often. It is our attention, our remembering that is lost in the distraction of our frequent flyer lifestyle. The been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Therefore, our lifestyle is a lateral one. We never learn enough to build on anything and thus rise beyond our past experiences. Just doomed to repeat the same mistakes over and over, never moving on. Now, Paul, he went on to warn Timothy about the flip side of this. And that was that those who aren't guilty of the first issue tend to be guilty of the second issue, and that is that the second group tends to obsess upon this stuff that really doesn't matter. Instead of focusing on what's important, we obsess on what is not important. We fixate on the inconsequential and the things that frankly are out of our control. These minor issues can control us. They can cause us to strive over such matters really to our own demise. This includes, arguing over minor issues, arguing over theological conspiracy theories. Look, may we always remember that what we say before the Lord, as Paul has pointed out. Are we ready to have the discussions we're having laterally, have them vertically, so lightly, yet in our failure in this, it can have absolutely devastating consequences, and frankly, it often does. You see, when we fail to remember the experiences we've enjoyed, the journeys we have traversed, the value of the relationships that we've been given, we forget usually right up until those things are lost, and then we remember, but all too late. Paul tells Timothy to remind those under his care. Timothy, remind those under your care. Thus, we are given one of the duties of a faithful pastor, and that is to continuously, faithfully remind the flock of these things. The word, its directives, the importance of unity, brotherhood, and the vertical and the horizontal love manifest of our Christian living to remain, to endure, to stay focused, anything, and thus rise beyond our past experiences. Just doomed to repeat the same mistakes over and over, never moving on. Now, Paul, he went on to warn Timothy about the flip side of this. And that was that those who aren't guilty of the first issue tend to be guilty of the second issue. And that is that the second group tends to obsess upon this stuff that really doesn't matter. Instead of focusing on what's important, we obsess on what is not important. We fixate on the inconsequential and the things that frankly are out of our control. These minor issues can control us. They can cause us to strive over such matters really to our own demise. This includes, I don't know, arguing over minor issues, arguing over theological conspiracy theories. Look, may we always remember that what we say before the Lord. As Paul has pointed out, are we ready to have the discussions we're having laterally, have them vertically, and know that the Lord is hearing what we have to say, that he's part of that discussion? You know, we're instructed in our text this week to work hard so that we can present ourselves to God and to receive his approval. Hey, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Tim, and I'm glad to have you with us this evening. If you're local, you're probably listening to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're out there in the world someplace else, you're probably with us via the web. But either way, you're welcome this evening. We have local fellowship, follow-up discussions, meeting throughout the multi-county area. If you ever would like to be a part of one after these Wednesday Rewinds, you can call us here at the church and we'll set you up. We're rewinding our Sunday message entitled Vessels of Honor from 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16. And we're going to pray before we get started and then we'll jump into commentary. We want to hear from Pastor Raymond Woodward from Capital City Church before we get going. But let's just seek the Lord before we even go any further. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather like this. Thank you for the open door to your word, to your spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness, for showing up here each and every time we gather like this. May our hearts be open and receptive. May our lives be out on the table this evening, that in all things, we would actually hear from you and apply them to our lives. You're good, you're gracious, you're faithful, and we love you and we praise your name. Amen.
So many Christians say that they serve. Thank you.
Hey, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Tim, and I'm glad to have you with us this evening. If you're local, you're probably listening to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're out there in the world someplace else, you're probably with us via the web. But either way, you're welcome this evening. We have local fellowship, follow-up discussions, meeting throughout the multi-county area. If you ever would like to be a part of one after these Wednesday Rewinds, you can call us here at the church and we'll set you up. We're rewinding our Sunday message entitled Vessels of Honor from 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16. And we're going to pray before we get started, and then we'll jump into commentary. We want to hear from Pastor Raymond Woodward from Capital City Church before we get going. But let's just seek the Lord before we even go any further. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather like this. Thank you for the open door to your word, to your spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness, for showing up here each and every time we gather like this. May our hearts be open and receptive. May our lives be out on the table this evening, that in all things we would actually hear from you and apply them to our lives. You're good, you're gracious, you're faithful, and we love you and we praise your name. Amen.
So many Christians say that they serve a holy God, and they say that their lives are governed by a holy Bible, and they say they want to go to a holy heaven. They even say they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet it's taboo in
Hey, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Tim, and I'm glad to have you with us this evening. If you're local, you're probably listening to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're out there in the world someplace else, you're probably with us via the web. But either way, you're welcome this evening. We have local fellowship, follow-up discussions, meeting throughout the multi-county area. If you ever would like to be a part of one after these Wednesday Rewinds, you can call us here at the church and we'll set you up. We're rewinding our Sunday message entitled Vessels. Hey, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Tim, and I'm glad to have you with us this evening. If you're local, you're probably listening to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're out there in the world someplace else, you're probably with us via the web. But either way, you're welcome this evening. We have local fellowship, follow-up discussions, meeting throughout the multi-county area. If you ever would like to be a part of one after these Wednesday Rewinds, you can call us here at the church and we'll set you up. We're rewinding our Sunday message entitled Vessels of Honor from 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16. And we're going to pray before we get started, and then we'll jump into commentary. We want to hear from Pastor Raymond Woodward, fact with the Word of God. More in the curves and the hills and the sudden 90-degree switchbacks. You know how that goes. You know, we say we love the Word, And we say it's the final say in our lives. And it is. Well, right up until the moment that it isn't. Now, I'm not in any way lifting myself up as the poster child here as, you know, the perfect practice theology this evening. But I still am surprised and shocked at how comfortable we are with the witness that many people have in their relationship with Christ, where they overtly abandon the scripture for the sake of nothing less than pride, lies, lust, hypocrisy, competitive spirit, worldliness, etc., etc. How low we go, how long we seek to hold the value of Christ and his bride, the church. Look, what I mean by that is I think we tend to feign the importance of Christ and his church. And yet we say these things are the highest regard in our life, yet we pass them up upon the arrival of what frankly is the cheapest and most temporal pleasures that this world has to offer. And again, Paul's word rings out. Gang, remember, remember, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And there's just one thing we're called to remember. But I wonder how often we chuck that instruction for worldly pleasure. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But we get rid of that. We leave that direction because, man, we got, you know, secular gatherings and family weekend with God, who has unique marching orders for each and every one of us. And the second is just simply pride, a life lost in one's own ego and self-deification. Danger, like many issues in Scripture, danger lies here when we swing wildly in one direction or another. We fail to make straight the path right down the middle through his word and through this relationship with him. Now, in the context of these two guys in verse 17 and 18, for those of you that were here on Sunday, Paul says, hey, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Tim, and I'm glad to have you with us this evening. If you're local, you're probably listening to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're out there in the world someplace else, you're probably with us via the web. But either way, you're welcome this evening. We have local fellowship, follow-up discussions, meeting throughout the multi-county area. If you ever would like to be a part of one after these Wednesday Rewinds, you can call us here at the church and we'll set you up. We're rewinding our Sunday message entitled Vessels of Honor from 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16. And we're going to pray before we get started, and then we'll jump into commentary. We want to hear from Pastor Raymond Woodward from Capital City Church before we get going. But let's just seek the Lord before we even go any further. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather like this. Thank you for the open door to your word, to your spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness, for showing up here each and every time we gather like this. May our hearts be open and receptive. May our lives be out on the table this evening, that in all things, we would actually hear from you and apply them to our lives. You're good, you're gracious, You're faithful, and we love you, and we praise your name. Amen.
So many Christians say that they serve a holy God, and they say that their lives are governed by a holy Bible, and they say they want to go to a holy heaven. They even say they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet it's taboo in most churches today to even bring up the subject of holiness. We live in an era when almost every single denomination and congregation has tried and is trying to accommodate our sin-sick, self-obsessed, addicted, perverted culture. They moved the line here, and the world bumped up against it. And so they said, oh, well, we'll move the line here, and the world bumped up against it. And they always think this foolish notion that if they move the line...
More in the curves and the hills and the sudden 90-degree switchbacks. You know how that goes. You know, we say we love the Word, and we say it's the final say in our lives. And it is. Well, right up until the moment that it isn't. Now, I'm not in any way lifting myself up as the poster child here as, you know, the perfect practice theology this evening. But I still am surprised and shocked at how comfortable we are with the witness that many people have in their relationship with Christ, where they overtly abandon the Scripture for the sake of nothing less than pride, lies, lust, hypocrisy, competitive spirit, worldliness, etc., etc. How low we go, how long we seek to hold the value of Christ and his bride, the church. Look, what I mean by that is I think we tend to feign the importance of Christ and his church. And yet we say these things are the highest regard in our life, yet we pass them up upon the arrival of what frankly is the cheapest and most temporal pleasures that this world has to offer. And again, Paul's word rings out. Gang, remember, remember. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's just one thing we're called to remember. But I wonder how often we chuck that instruction for worldly pleasure. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But we get rid of that. We leave that direction because, man, we got, you know, secular gatherings and family weekends and getaways and vacations. You know, come on. After all, Pastor, I mean, just because God gives us 6 days a week and merely asks for one in return, well, that doesn't mean he's justified in such a grand request of us. Really, Christian. One of the warnings Paul gives us today in our scripture text is the danger of two opposing extreme positions. One, the danger of living too much in the opinion of others around us. And then the flip side, the danger of not caring at all what other people think. The first is being weak in having a personal relationship with God who has unique marching orders for each and every one of us. And the second, well, the second is just simply pride, a life with his word and through this relationship with him. Now, in the context of these two guys in verse 17 and 18, for those of you that were here on Sunday, Paul says that these two guys that were mentioned here by name, he says their words and their work was like a cancer. Wow. It's pretty graphic language. Why that analogy? Why does he say cancer? I mean, man, was Paul being, you know, frankly, a little cruel here? Now, certainly, we live in an age of extremely frail sensibilities and fragile egos. We're apt to let this kind of stuff slide in hopes of avoiding confrontation. We kind of want to let it go because we don't want to lose street cred in the arena of public opinion. Paul, however, he saw this stuff not as a mere splinter in the finger, but rather as a cancer. One that would affect and ultimately kill the entire body, and it had to be cut out, not managed. Paul said God knows who are his. You know, the problem is, however, we don't operate within that level of clarity. He knows who are his because, look, we want to believe on little or no evidence that we belong to him. You a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. So you're born again, you're saved? Yes, I'm born again, I'm saved. Yet the life that we live is so often lived in what we always refer to as sloppy agape, lives that speak one thing, but also our lives, our living speaks contrary to that verbal affirmation.
Diving through a river, knowing I'll drown today, but I will be delivered. Yeah.
This is Street Level Radio, WRJFLP 101.7 FM, broadcasting out of Menominee, Wisconsin, and available to stream anytime, anywhere at streetlevelradio.com.
To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you.
Believers City Church is a church in Menominee, Wisconsin, River Falls, Wisconsin, Duluth, Minnesota, and Cebu City, Cebu Island, in the Philippines. Don't do life alone. We are a Christian community for those who want more than church on Sundays. We have been active since 1989, and our desire has always been to share the love of Jesus with anyone and everyone we meet. When a person turns to God, we desire to help them to find a reason why God put them here. We have many community groups, classes, ministries, and outreaches to get involved in. We do life together on mission. We're all in. Believers City Church. BelieversTogether.com.
fell away, you were right there with me. Oh yeah, I've got much to say, but I'll just write this day and be wrapped in the ray of your warm embrace. Oh, cause there is that one time, that one time, where you feel that one time, that one time, where you like that one time, that one time. Oh, no, 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 no. Cause there is that one time, that one time, where you feel that one time, that one time, oh, oh, where you lie. Oh, oh, no, 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 no. There is not one time. Doesn't matter my mistakes. Oh, you're always there for me. You never let me fall. No, no. God, you're always there for me. And you never ever fail.
Radio that doesn't play the same 40 songs on rotation. Street Level Radio. Thanks for listening.
The glory of God is not easy to understand. Yet the assertion of all the readings for today is that God makes generous provision for the needs of his people. The wonder of his saving love. Paul has certainly had some close encounters with the glory of God. His letter to the Philippians is often described as the letter where joy is the great theme. In his letter, Paul, in spite of the fact that he is writing it from prison, maybe because of this, rejoices in prayer, in his own ministry, in the knowledge of the preaching of the gospel, even in suffering which could lead to death. He also acclaims the joy of fellowship, partnership with the gospel. Most of all, he makes clear his complete commitment to Jesus Christ and his single-mindedness to know him and make him known. He expresses, too, his utter contentment with any conditions, any deprivations, any difficulties.
Thank you. Are you 18 to 25 and looking for Christian friends? Check out Street Level Ministries this summer. Keep up with us on social media at Street Level Ministries to see what events we have planned this summer, including camping, conferences, and more. Don't do summer alone. StreetLevelMinistries.com.
secure. I hope that you'll be the cure. I'm falling apart inside, but I'm still seeking the light. Scream, I gotta be the best of the best of the best of the best. Just tell me the truth sometime, even when it doesn't rhyme. Keep the fire
the Street magazine is written to challenge the status quo of our culture and Christianity. Check it out for the unfiltered truth about what following Jesus really looks like, with no topic off limits. It's written, designed, and printed by members of Street Level Ministries, a global Christian community. Just head to readwots.com. That's read, WOTS.com to check it out. Word on the Street magazine. Engage your mind, engage your world.
I remember the moment I learned that the gospel didn't stop at conversion. I was a new believer, all of 19 years old, with a backbone full of zeal and a mouth not yet skilled in grace. I was afraid to read the Old Testament because I thought it to be nothing more than genealogies and commandments. I had yet to taste of God coming to life in its pages between the cracked sea and a bloody doorpost pointing to a bleeding God. The Passover and his prophetic posture did not prostrate me at that stage, but I loved him. Not because I was told to, but because something happened in me that made me unlike all that I thought love for God to be. I thought it duty before. Why would any sane soul lay aside sin to worship God? But after meeting him, I knew better. I understood by experience before doctrine that Jesus had my affections, but it wasn't too long after that that I learned that this body, this flesh, was still Jackie before her resurrection. It was still as dead as death, and it still felt good to die sometimes, and I needed help. I didn't know how to fight. These hands hadn't been trained by war yet. So the woman that discipled me said, Jackie, you know the gospel didn't just save you, but it keeps you. Because of the gospel, you have victory. I had never heard the gospel and that light in my life, if you would have seen my heart at that moment, you would have seen it full of enough joy to explode a smile. The good news was good news again to me that day. I was tempted to lust after a woman with all of her beauty, reminding me of all of the lesbian I knew myself to be 12 months prior. I could not remember one scripture to quote that would distract me from her glance, not one song to sing that would help me look away, but I remember the gospel. I remember my risen Lord, and that if death had no dominion over him, then surely I was as free as the sky he ascended to. I did not yet know what the veil being torn meant for me, but I did know that because of Jesus, I was no longer God's enemy, but his child with no shame. That day, I learned so much more than how to fight temptation, but I learned that the gospel is the means by which I learned to live and love. I am now 26 years old, with just as much zeal and still not yet skilled in grace, passing on to everyone I meet that, hey, you know the gospel not only saves you, but it keeps you. Ain't that good news?
Hey, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Tim, and I'm glad to have you with us this evening. If you're local, you're probably listening to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're out there in the world someplace else, you're probably with us via the web. But either way, you're welcome this evening. We have local fellowship, follow-up discussions, meeting throughout the multi-county area. If you ever would like to be a part of one after these Wednesday Rewinds, you can call us here at the church and we'll set you up. We're rewinding our Sunday message entitled Vessels of Honor from 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 16. And we're going to pray before we get started, and then we'll jump into commentary. We want to hear from Pastor Raymond Woodward from Capital City Church before we get going. But let's just seek the Lord before we even go any further. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather like this. Thank you for the open door to your word, to your spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness, for showing up here each and every time we gather like this. May our hearts be open and receptive. May our lives be out on the table this evening, that in all things, we would actually hear from you and apply them to our lives. You're good, you're gracious, you're faithful, and we love you and we praise your name. Amen.
So many Christians say that they serve a holy God, and they say that their lives are governed by a holy Bible, and they say they want to go to a holy heaven. They even say they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet It's taboo in most churches today to even bring up the subject of holiness. We live in an era when almost every single denomination and congregation has tried and is trying to accommodate our sin-sick, self-obsessed, addicted, perverted culture. They moved the line here, and the world bumped up against it. And so they said, oh, well, we'll move the line here, and the world bumped up against it. And they always think this foolish notion that if they move the line far enough, finally the world will open their arms and say, oh, we love these Christians, and we love this idea of Christianity. They're fools. Nicholas taught that Christians, since they were sinners saved by grace, they could live like the world on the outside, and they could still remain saved on the inside. It was a false doctrine then, and it's a false doctrine now. There's only one time in the New Testament that God says he hates something. I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I hate the doctrine that says it's okay to live a worldly lifestyle and still call yourself a Christian. God said, I hate it. The only way that the world loves Jesus Christ is when Jesus comes into their life and changes them from the inside out. So we've just decided we're not moving any lines. We're not accommodating any of those movements or any of those compromises.
Paul the Apostle began our text this week, if you recall, with his oft cry to remember, remember. You know, it's a warning I think that we take so lightly, yet in our failure in this, it can have absolutely devastating consequences, and frankly, it often does. You see, when we fail to remember the experiences we've enjoyed, the journeys we have traversed, the value of the relationships that we've been given, we forget usually right up until those things are lost, and then we remember, but all too late. Paul tells Timothy to remind those under his care. Timothy, remind those under your care. Thus, we are given one of the duties of a faithful pastor, and that is to continuously, faithfully remind the flock of these things. The word, its directives, the importance of unity, brotherhood, and the vertical and the horizontal love manifest of our Christian living, to remain, to endure, to stay focused. Now, sadly, so many of us need to be reminded and need to be reminded often. It is our attention, our remembering that is lost in the distraction of our frequent flyer lifestyle. The been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Therefore, our lifestyle is a lateral one. We never learn enough to build on anything and thus rise beyond our past experiences. Just doomed to repeat the same mistakes over and over, never moving on. Now Paul, he went on to warn Timothy about the flip side of this. And that was that those who aren't guilty of the first issue tend to be guilty of the second issue, and that is that the second group tends to obsess upon this stuff that really doesn't matter. Instead of focusing on what's important, we obsess on what is not important. We fixate on the inconsequential and the things that frankly are out of our control. These minor issues can control us. They can cause us to strive over such matters really to our own demise. This includes, I don't know, arguing over minor issues, arguing over theological conspiracy theories. Look, may we always remember that what we say before the Lord, as Paul has pointed out. Are we ready to have the discussions we're having laterally, have them vertically, and know that the Lord is hearing what we have to say, that he's part of that discussion? You know, we're instructed in our text this week to work hard so that we can present ourselves to God and to receive his approval. Now, I know that many of us, were quite uncomfortable with that premise. Yet these are Paul's words, not mine. We tend to, frankly, pile everything on the back of Christ to carry this relationship we have with him, to carry the weight of the alliance between him and I. We were so apt to play loose and fast with this bond that we have with him. Well, until, as we said previously, it's forgotten and eventually it's lost. Now look, any suggestion of work in our faith tends to translate in our generation into a works-oriented salvation and unilaterally across the board condemned. The premise of effort is always seemingly rendered as legalism. Now, how sad, not to mention biblically ignorant, for any relationship must have an investment by both parties. This common sense truth is so often lost in the Christian world, where facts are discarded for the fantasy of imagined religious dogma. No one would ever expect to have a loving relationship in this life, in our marriage, or in a deep friendship, again, if it's just one way. We know that that would be just foolishness. And yet we want to mandate our Christianity with the cry, "It's all God, it's all God." We are further instructed in this text to cut straight the path of engaging the Word of God. Now certainly, that's a crucial call today, wherein we seem to interact or prefer to interact with the Word of God more in the curves and the hills and the sudden 90-degree switchbacks. You know how that goes. You know, we say we love the Word, and we say it's the final say in our lives. And it is. Well, right up until the moment that it isn't. Now, I'm not in any way lifting myself up as the poster child here as, you know, the perfect practice theology this evening. But I still am surprised and shocked at how comfortable we are with the witness that many people have in their relationship with Christ, where they overtly abandon the scripture for the sake of nothing less than pride, lies, lust, hypocrisy, competitive spirit, worldliness, etc., etc. How low we go, how long we seek to hold the value of Christ and his bride, the church. Look, what I mean by that is I think we tend to feign the importance of Christ and his church. And yet we say these things are the highest regard in our life, yet we pass them up upon the arrival of what frankly is the cheapest and most temporal pleasures that this world has to offer. And again, Paul's word rings out, gang, remember, remember, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's just one thing we're called to remember. But I wonder how often we chuck that instruction for worldly pleasure. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But we get rid of that. We leave that direction because, man, we got, you know, secular gatherings and family weekends and getaways and vacations. You know, come on. After all, Pastor, I mean, just because God gives us 6 days a week and merely asks for one in return, well, that doesn't mean he's justified in such a grand request of us. Really, Christian. One of the warnings Paul gives us today in our scripture text is the danger of two opposing extreme positions. One, the danger of living too much in the opinion of others around us. And then the flip side, the danger of not caring at all what other people think. The first is being weak in having a personal relationship with God, who has unique marching orders for each and every one of us. And the second is just simply pride, a life lost in one's own ego and self-deification. Danger, like many issues in Scripture, danger lies here when we swing wildly in one direction or another. We fail to make straight the path right down the middle through His Word and through this relationship with Him. Now, in the context of these two guys in verse 17 and 18, for those of you that were here on Sunday, Paul says that these two guys that were mentioned here by name, he says their words and their work was like a cancer. Wow. It's pretty graphic language. Why that analogy? Why does he say cancer? I mean, man, was Paul being, you know, frankly, a little cruel here? Now, certainly, we live in an age of extremely frail sensibilities and fragile egos. We're apt to let this kind of stuff slide in hopes of avoiding confrontation. We kind of want to let it go because we don't want to lose street cred in the arena of public opinion. Paul, however, he saw this stuff not as a mere splinter in the finger, but rather as a cancer. One that would affect and ultimately kill the entire body, and it had to be cut out, not managed. Paul said God knows who are His. You know, the problem is, however, we don't operate within that level of clarity. He knows who are His because, look, we want to believe on little or no evidence that we belong to Him. You a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. So you're born again, you're saved? Yes, I'm born again, I'm saved. Yet the life that we live is so often lived in what we always refer to as sloppy agape, lives that speak one thing, but also our lives, our living speaks contrary to that verbal affirmation. Our decisions, our priorities in living, our practice of faith actually says, in reality, you're in trouble. But instead, what we hear is, we're so awesome. I'm there, man. And the dichotomy between these two positions is astonishing, and there seems to be no way to wake up such a sleeping individual. Today, when what we want to do comes up against church and church family, hey, let's face it, most of the time the church loses. It's okay. God understands. It's all right. And the litmus test of that relationship, it speaks emphatically. You see, our relationship with the shepherd in that kind of scenario is tacit at best and sporadic or non-existent at worst. And yet we still want to believe that we're okay. We still want to believe that God's all right with me. Now, in our message on Sunday, the overarching theme of that message was the picture of utensils and vessels, dishes, if you will, in one's house. We commented that, and Scripture reiterated here, that some of those vessels were made for high purposes and some for low. Nice china for your best meals and the old pan you feed your dog with. You know, you don't feed your dog out of a nice crystal wine glass. Now, Of course, the point of this message, the point of this text, is that we are challenged with one simple premise. Which one am I? In this house, in this church, which one am I? Am I existing for noble use? Or am I such low value that I wouldn't be missed if I got lost out underneath the doghouse? We're called herein this evening to not only be vessels of noble use gold, but to separate ourselves also from the ignoble. To separate ourselves from those which serve no authentic purpose. Only proving the old adage that birds of a feather flock together. This premise was so important to Paul that he counted himself as a slave of Jesus. Gang, and not just by duty, but through his great passion and love for his master. Come on now. Let's be honest. That's a rare position to take for the vast majority of us, isn't it? I mean, we might use the vernacular of customer or acquaintance or maybe neighbor. But slave? Just the use of our personal scheduling, our free use time, our priority, our selfish endeavors. What we say by our life is that we know nothing about being his slave. And certainly we know nothing about the passion and drive to further kingdom over anything else. May you consider these things tonight, especially if you're going into small groups now. Talk about it, gang. Let that monologue move now into dialogue and let God speak to you and let you speak to each other. God bless, gang. We'll see you next week.